Hello, and welcome to Mental Health Matters Podcast. I'm your host, Liz Lang, and I'm here with Dr. Mark Burton. In this podcast, we will talk about all things mental health. Thank you so much for joining us. Hey guys, Liz Lang here with Dr. Mark Burton, and this week we are going to talk about passive aggressive. So let's start by defining what passive aggressive is.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought we were going to talk about Frankie and Jess' show too, which we'll get to in a minute.
Yes, we will.
So passive aggressive is an indirect way. So that's the important point. It's indirect. It's not a direct form of communication. An indirect way of expressing either anger, resentment, or some other possible negative feeling. And so it's a behavior, and we can get into some examples I think will be helpful later on. But it's an indirect way. It's an unhealthy way of expressing those negative feelings, because I think most mental health experts would suggest that talking about them directly with someone kindly and directly is probably the better way to do it than being passive aggressive.
So going back to the Frankie and Jess show, they used to do this segment called
Was it Passive Aggressive Tuesday?
Yes, it was Passive Aggressive Tuesday. And so what it was is they would just, it was mislabeled passive aggressive. It was basically just venting, right?
Right, like that's what it seemed to me.
Or complaining, or however you want to label it. But it was just people would text into the show or call into the show and complain about something, right? Yeah. Like, you know, stop cutting me off in traffic. I don't know that that's necessarily passive aggressive, but
To be passive aggressive, you'd have to, well, we can explain it, but it's not passive aggressive. It's just complaining.
Not that it wasn't entertaining. And
no, it was entertaining. I thought it was fun.
Yeah, it was. It was a fun segment, you know, and not that that's not helpful, right? I mean, because I think there were some good things that came of it, you know, and I guess in some ways it might have even been an eye opener, like, oh yeah, I'm guilty of doing that. Maybe I should not, right?
Yeah. But this is a bit of an aside for our listeners. I spent about an hour and a half with Frankie and Jess on Monday, and so their podcast, I don't know how they released their podcast, but so we recorded a podcast with them. Just general stuff, not really a theme to it.
Yeah, well, because they recently came up on the 1 year anniversary.
That's what it was. I mean, that's how we started, was 1 year anniversary of them getting let go from the radio station. Anyway, back to being passive aggressive. I don't know that I ever said to them in that moment, this really isn't being passive aggressive, because I was always there on Monday and they never did it on Monday. They always did it on Tuesday.
And it looks like your episode is available on their podcast list. So how do you handle family members who have zero boundaries, Dr. Burton? So,
wait, today's Wednesday. Okay. That's fast. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, So, they put out like 3 episodes a week. And so, I'm assuming they have pretty quick turnaround. So if you want to go listen to Dr. Burton on the Frankie and Jess podcast again, go, reminisce about the good old days when they were on the radio. But I like them better on a podcast, personally. I think a lot of people do, though.
Yeah.
And they seem happier.
Yeah.
Okay.
They are happier, much happier.
Yes. All right. So I also wanted to bring up the fact that passive and aggressive are like opposite adjectives.
I think that's a point.
Okay.
I think that it makes sense to me when you think about it. So let's talk about an example. I think here's one that, you know, in all the stuff I've read, I've never heard people talk about this as an example. For me, it is a classic example of passive aggressive, and that is people who are always late.
Mm.
And there are other reasons that people are passive aggressive. I think one of them is about expressing control.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting control over a situation. And we can talk about how that comes about, but now, all of us are late at some time, so I am not talking about those times when, you know, somehow you're late. But I'm talking about someone who is chronically late. Mm. And they might even say to you, I will be on time. We're going to, you know, you can say, we're going to leave at 12:30. Oh, I'll be ready. I'll be ready. See, now that's the saying, I'm going to commit to this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then at 1 o'clock, they're ready. Mm-hmm. So it's an aggressive response that is passive. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, because it's, they're indirectly affecting their and controlling their environment, and they're indirectly affecting somebody else.
Right. But they're also saying, I mean, part of this is saying, yeah, I will do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a general way to look at passive aggressive. If I commit to you, yeah, I will do that. And in my mind, I have absolutely no intention of doing it.
Mm.
That's a passive aggressive response.
Okay.
Because I'm using it to, I mean, it's almost like setting you up for expectation, and then I can rip it down again because I have control over what I'm doing. I had a friend when we lived in Farmington. This lady was always late. It didn't matter what it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was, that was just her habit. So it, I mean, I guess you could call it a habit, but really it puts people out. It puts you in control. It puts you in this, you know, it changes the power dynamic in whatever. If you're in a group, it changes the power dynamic because we're all waiting for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew it was going to start at one. And, you know, everyone else is here starting at one, but you're always late. And so I think that's kind of a classic example. But there are many others. Like, for instance, I think procrastination is very close to saying I'll do something and then not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, you know, again, if you commit to do something and you procrastinate, instead of admitting, well, I really don't want to do that task. See, that's the direct way of handling it,
mm-hmm.
is to be able to say, you know, I'm just not going to do that task. The indirect way is, yeah, I'll do it. And then you never do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you just keep procrastinating. And you might give excuses, though, I forgot, or I've been so busy. But it's the same thing. It creates a power dynamic. But it's also a way of expressing those negative feelings, like anger. Maybe you're mad at the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't really, maybe you were brought up in an environment where you didn't really learn how to express anger in a productive way. And so I think this behavior is often learned. Well, it is learned. And so the good thing about it is that if you can learn something, you can also unlearn something, mm-hmm. which I tell my clients all the time.
So tell me if this falls under the category of passive aggressive. When a woman says she's fine, but she's not really fine.
Well, I think that's a little different to me.
Okay.
To me, that's different. And I encounter that.
Yeah.
Almost a daily, mm-hmm. with clients. And I think usually what that is it has something to do with communication.
Mm.
And not always, but often what it is the woman doesn't feel safe talking about it, whatever it is.
Okay.
The other thing, we've kind of talked about this in past episodes, is if she says, well, I'm really not fine, this is what's going on. If she's partnered with a male, often what the male does, doesn't really listen, goes into here's how you solve it mode.
Mm.
And that doesn't feel good, because often if you say, well, how are you doing? You just want someone to listen to you.
Yeah.
So I would say that doesn't fit that.
Okay.
Sort of label. I think there's a communication issue.
Sure. And I can see what you're saying, but I can also see where maybe this one could fall is when they say, I'm fine, and then get mad and stonewall. Because he didn't realize. Okay.
So I think you're right there. So
okay. The
context is important and everything.
Yeah.
But so withholding information, you know, here's how it can be passive aggressive. If I am angry at you,
mm-hmm.
and your partner's trying to get it out, or the other person's trying to get it out, you say, no, everything's fine. Yeah, that feels passive aggressive to me, because the other person, you put them in a position of I want to know, and you're in the position of power,
mm-hmm.
by saying nope, not going to tell. I mean, you create this imbalance in the power dynamic.
So
I think that often, and you don't, at least when I read about passive aggressive, I often don't hear them talk about the power imbalance, and I think it's a really important part of
it sounds
the passive aggressive behavior.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it is. I mean, just because, and it's someone who is just, you know, genuinely has a passive aggressive personality, it sounds like they have little control over things in their life. And so they're trying to find ways to get control.
That's what I think. And so, you know, if you think about how does one learn to do this, I think often it's a coping mechanism for trauma. Because as we've talked about before, probably one of the common results of trauma in children is a sense of a loss of their power, which is like with Lindy, as she works with kids who've had trauma in the playroom. That's all about trying to help them get their power back.
Yeah.
Their power and control. And so it's a coping mechanism that might work okay as a child or an adolescent. But as you become an adult and you carry those coping mechanisms with you into the adult relationship, then it really doesn't work very well at all.
Well, no, I mean, it sounds unpleasant.
Yeah, it is.
And I'll admit that I've been guilty of it before, of telling Curtis, I'm fine. And saying it in a way that indicates I'm not fine.
Right. And do you remember? Right. Because he can tell you're not fine. And you're saying, yeah, I'm fine. So that is passive aggressive. We all behave that way. I mean, it's important. Sure. You know, we didn't do our disclaimer at the start of this episode.
That's true.
We often do that this type of behavior, we often fall into it.
Yeah.
Maybe not often, but, you know, we've all experienced it. And so you mentioned, I wanted to follow up on something you said, that maybe they have a passive aggressive personality. So it used to be, I think it was before DSM-5. I'm not sure when they took it out, but there used to be passive aggressive personality disorder, but it's not in the DSM anymore. Okay. And I have no idea the reason that they took it out. Mm-hmm. You know, they're always reviewing the diagnoses and changing them. But for some reason, they took that one off the list. I still run into it often, but here's why I think it's not a personality disorder anymore. I think that as we have talked about personality disorders, it's really hard to change those. If this is a learned behavior, which I believe it is, then it's not hard to change it.
You
can actually change it. So I think in that way, it doesn't really fit that category of personality disorder. But yeah, I think you can have personality traits that maybe lead you to be more likely to be passive aggressive. But really, often what it is just you don't like conflict.
Yeah.
But you're trying to find a way to express your anger or your negative feeling. And so you do it indirectly, and that's often with a passive aggressive act.
Right. And you know, and I can remember these times when I would do this to Curtis. Oftentimes I was mad, but I wanted him to know why I was mad. I wanted him to recognize that I was mad, and I wanted him to know, understand. Like,
you mean, you wanted him to get it all on his own?
Uh-huh.
You didn't want to have to tell him.
Yeah.
Okay. You wanted him to be psychic.
Uh-huh.
In other words.
Yeah.
I do run into that. It'd be great if we could be psychic. Never found it.
And part of it too could have been I was frustrated, and I didn't want to talk about it in the moment, which is fine. And you know, and it's okay to say, I'm upset, but I'm not ready to talk about it. That's not passive aggressive. That's a very appropriate way to say, I can't talk about this right now because I'm not in a good space.
Right. And then to even make it more healthier, you'd say, can we talk about it after dinner tonight?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And so you set a time when, so that you know that it's going to be dealt with. Because often what happens if you say, I'm not ready to talk about it now, it gets lost. Whatever it is, and it's hard for couples to come back unless they really have an appointment to do it.
Right. And I think that, you know, that comes down to almost, that's like setting a boundary, which I think is important, especially if you tend towards an anxious partner. Like, you know, like for me, and thankfully Curtis he's fairly even tempered, and he's also very open. And if something is bothering him, he'll just say it. But for me, like if he said, I'm upset right now and I can't talk about this, there was definitely a point in my marriage where that would make me anxious. I would stew and stew on it.
Right. But if he said, let's talk about it, you know, a specific time later, you probably
Yes.
wouldn't have been as anxious because you know you're going to get to it.
Exactly. And there weren't really too many instances like that anyways, because like I said, he's fairly straightforward. And if something is bothering him, he'll tell me about it. So I was looking up some things on passive aggressive, and I found some examples of passive aggressive phrases that I thought were kind of funny that I think you're going to enjoy. So one of them is, your work is surprisingly good.
Okay. So that falls into what they'd call a backhanded compliment, right? The example I read about was, wow, you're really brave to wear that bikini. That's the same type of thing. And so, you know, that's a bad, yeah, I like that. Wow, that's surprisingly good work.
So another one is, your outfit looks better than what you wore yesterday.
Okay, it's the same thing. So that backhanded comment is definitely a passive aggressive trait.
Yeah, the backhanded compliments. I thought they were funny. Okay, there's one last one is, it's good that you're so carefree. I wish I didn't care so much about things.
So, yeah, I think that those ones that, because this can happen anywhere, so it can happen in the workplace, right?
Yeah.
I think some of the first one, like when you're, that's surprisingly good work, that would be an appropriate one for the workplace, right? Like if
that's
a
what I thought
supervisor came up to you and said, wow, I'm surprised.
Yeah. Wow. You did a really good job with that.
Yeah. What is that?
Like,
so it does
you?
Happen in the workplace.
Yeah.
And the problem is, as we've talked about many issues in the workplace, there's always this power dynamic.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't really do anything about it if it's your supervisor who's making the comment.
Yep.
It's not,
yep,
not like you can say anything. So you're
yeah.
kind of stuck.
Uh-huh.
Whereas in an interpersonal relationship, in a marriage or a long-term relationship, then hopefully you can bring it to the other person's attention so that you can have a healthier conversation about whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about some other signs of being passive aggressive, or just some other ways that you can be passive aggressive. That, because I was reading some online, and some of them like, oh yeah, that does fit into passive aggressive, but you might not think it is, right?
Right.
And so
I mean, I think it's hard to tease out. I think
yeah.
So I was just trying to think about how it might be easier to spot it, but I think it's tough. Like the compliments. I mean, if you got a backhanded compliment like that, that would catch me off guard. Like,
yeah,
what do you even say at that moment? Because
exactly.
It feels like a compliment. And so you think, oh, I'm in compliment mode. And then when you think about it, you know, so you there's this time that passes probably before you realize what has just happened. But
yeah.
I think talking about how, so I mentioned that we can learn to be passive aggressive from either other, probably, you know, in childhood, it would be parents or other authority mm-hmm. figures during childhood. So the other thing is it's a response, typically a coping mechanism to childhood trauma.
Yeah.
But I think even so, in the absence of those, let's say you grew up and you learned to have healthy communication. I think it's important to realize that there are other factors, like probably the biggest one would be stress.
Mm-hmm.
That when we become stressed, then often we resort to unhealthy coping mechanisms.
Yeah.
I think the other thing is hangry, being hangry.
Yes. Yes. That is,
know,
I think they have they added that to the dictionary yet? Because
I don't know. They probably should.
They should.
Overwhelmed, anxious, tired. Mm-hmm. I mean, so there are all these external factors that can influence the way we respond. And in that case, it's, you know, a few minutes ago, we were talking about how we kind of all at some point fall into passive aggressive behavior. It's probably because of something like that. We're stressed or overwhelmed or tired or hangry. And so, you know, as far as other examples, I think here's another one that I don't think I've ever experienced this, but you kind of see it in movies often where you're separate from the other person. It's like you're talking under your breath, but your intent is really to be overheard by the person who you know is in the next room. And so that is just such a classic indirect way, of expressing whatever it is. I mean, I'm mad at you. And so under your breath, you're saying, oh, I can't believe he did that. You know, you intend for the other person to hear it, but it's very indirect. So the, you know, the common themes are being indirect, having a negative, so a negative emotion towards someone else. I think this ties into something you brought up, say that you've done with Curtis, ignoring or denying an obvious problem would be another one.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, I'm glad we're talking about this and for our listeners, because if you can, if you're in a relationship and there's an obvious problem and there's a denial about it or ignoring it, I think you can think of it as being passive aggressive behavior. It's a way to express anger indirectly. And I think the first, one of the first steps of trying to change it is to label it, is to realize this is what's going on.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it becomes confusing. Like, for instance, if someone is ignoring or denying an obvious problem, for me, the next step would be to talk to them about it. But I kind of wonder, okay, this is so obvious. What's behind the ignoring it or the, you know, denying that it's a problem? But I think if you can label it as this is their coping mechanism, it, they're being indirect about it, they don't really want to have the direct confrontation, then maybe it can help you to approach it in a different way.
Yeah.
Realizing that maybe you need to tread a little more carefully about this particular problem or issue.
Well, or maybe even saying something like, I can see that you are upset right now. I'm going to wait for you to be ready to talk about this, because clearly you're upset about something. So when you're ready, I am here to listen.
I mean, Lindy and I had an example of this just last night. And it's probably too complex to go into, but it had to do with our dryer went out. And so we bought a new dryer. But you know how at least our dryer had a pedestal or a thing it sits on? So it pops it up.
Okay.
And we bought it from Costco and they didn't have it. But she was just so upset. And I mean, her response to not having this pedestal was bigger than it ought to be. And I could clearly see that something was upsetting her. But it took us about a half hour. But, you know, we've been married so long that you can sit with stuff like that until finally it came out, you know, okay, here's what's... Because I've said this to clients, and I think I've said it on the podcast. If you have an issue and your response ought to be small, but your response is really big, it's always about something else.
Yes.
And so sometimes in a relationship, you just have to sit with that and be patient until the person can get to what is it that's going on.
Yeah.
Because they're either going to deny that it's a problem or not see that it's a problem. And so you can help them just through dialogue.
Yeah. So here's another good example that I found, and that is sarcasm can be.
Oh, yeah.
Sarcasm can be passive aggressive.
I might go as far to say it might be always passive aggressive.
Okay.
So I get couples sometimes who come in and one of them is sarcastic. And it comes out pretty early in either the first or second session. And the problem with sarcasm, that it's an indirect way of expressing some sort of emotion. And so, yeah, it's probably negative. I agree with that. I think sarcasm is passive aggressive. And I tell clients that it does not work. You have to change it.
So I'm going to push back on that just a little bit.
Because
here's why. So sometimes, because I'll make sarcastic comments, but about something obvious, right? So like when a good example is I was coming out of Walmart and the lady... Sorry, hang on. Oh my goodness, Cat, he's so loud and now he's trying to get my attention. He probably wants food or something.
Uh-huh.
I think his food bowl is partially, or anyways, it's usually when he's freaking out like this, it has to do with food.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, so I was coming out of Walmart and the lady at the door stopped me because she okay. needed to see my receipt. And she goes, oh, yeah. And she's like, yeah. She's like, can I see your receipt? Sorry. And I looked at her and I go, well, how dare you do your job? And she just kind of laughed. So, I mean, maybe that's passive aggressive. But, you know, and I said it in a way, and it's like, well, you know, I mean, she's doing her job. And so it was, well, I come up with like, how dare you?
Okay, so maybe it's not passive aggressive. Here's the problem, though, with sarcasm.
Mm-hmm.
Is that sometimes it's funny and sometimes it's not. And it always depends on the mood of the person receiving it.
Yes, that's true.
So you could have been a customer that followed someone who was really obnoxious to her, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You came and said that, she would have had a different response.
It's true.
And so it depends. So I understand how sarcasm, people think sarcasm can be funny. And the problem is sometimes it is.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's not. And you, as the person who is delivering the sarcasm, you cannot know what it's going to be funny or not, because it's all based on how the person receives it. And so that's when I talk to couples about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I try and help them understand. And they all have experiences where, yes, sometimes it's okay, and there's sometimes when it's not. And it's usually not, like, the person receiving it, if they don't think it's funny, it usually doesn't have anything to do with the person, you know, who's being sarcastic. It's mm-hmm. they had a bad day, or they had, you know, something else went on that has made them more sensitive, probably mm-hmm. is what I would say about it. Okay. So you're right. I'll take that back. It's not always passive aggressive. I think the problem is sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's not.
Yeah, and it certainly can be passive aggressive. Yeah. So another good example that I got, and I'll just have to post this article, because I mean, it was a good article on passive aggressive, and it comes from Simply Psychology.
Mm-hmm.
So the example that they gave is, you know, suppose someone invites a friend over to their family's house, and the friend says, yeah, you know how much I love your family.
Okay, that's passive aggressive, right?
Yes, and that's an example of using sarcasm in a passive aggressive tone. I just locked my cat out, and he found another way in.
See, I think when you edit this, you ought to leave this in. I think you should leave the cat experience in.
My cat is very needy and whiny today. See, and now he's expecting me to fall into it. Okay. Yes. Okay. All right. Hopefully Curtis is on it, because he's clearly very concerned about something. Okay.
So in that example you gave about, mm-hmm. you know how much I love your family. What's interesting about that one, if you change just the tone or the word slightly, you could say, I really love your family.
Yeah.
You know, I really enjoy being around your family. See, that's different than, well, you know how much I love your family. So a lot of it is the delivery.
Yes. So,
which is what I try and help people with all the time. It's about process. For me, that falls into what I call process.
Mm-hmm.
So to be aware of our tone, you know, the cadence of how we deliver it, the volume, anything like that. Can change the same words. It can change the meaning of the same words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so here's another good one. The silent treatment.
That
is classic passive aggressive.
Well, because if you think about control.
Yep.
I mean, you can't make me say something so I can exert that control. And so, yeah, that fits. I mean, that mm-hmm. fits into Gottman's definition of stonewalling too.
Yeah.
I think that another, you know, since we're talking about communication, being intentionally vague is another one that mm-hmm. I think can fit into passive aggressive, when you could be direct and express whatever the emotion is. But if you're vague, I mean, in some ways that is so close to either denying or ignoring a problem. They're all similar in a way. It's about indirect ways of expressing negative feeling.
Yeah. And I would even venture to say, maybe sometimes we do this indirectly, right? Or mm-hmm. we're passive aggressive without thinking about it or without realizing it, or because we haven't yet figured out a more appropriate and healthy way to express the emotion. Right?
I think that's certainly possible. I think that probably happens often.
I think it probably does. And, you know, I think that's a good time to recognize it, own it, and say, well, you know, here's where this comes from and here's how I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kind of try to resolve it from there.
But I think for our listeners, you know, a different way to approach this would be to look at your own behavior and see if you have any of these.
Yeah.
I think that would be important because it doesn't work well in relationship and you can change it.
Yes. Yeah.
You can really learn how to not do this, which mm-hmm. then leads to healthier relationships. So, you know, for our listeners, if their relationship is struggling in some way, see if it's about communication and being passive aggressive.
Yeah. Just, good advice.
You know, you're going to post that article. It probably has examples in it. Mm-hmm. You can look at that article and see if any of them fit.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That will, it will be in our show notes. So takeaways, passive aggressive, it's all about control.
It is. And it's an indirect way of expressing negative emotions. For many people, it's a learn. Well, I think for everyone, it's a learned behavior, but it could be the result of, you know, some sort of childhood trauma as well, because what gets taken away is power. And mm-hmm. so it's a way to express power in an unhealthy way. Mm-hmm. But the important thing, you can change it.
Yeah.
You just have to be aware of it first.
Yes. And you can also send funny text messages into a radio station and call it passive aggressive.
Right.
And amuse other people. So, I mean, I guess, and in some instances, I guess it could be passive aggressive, right? Like if you're calling out your boss, I don't know.
On the radio station?
On a radio station. I don't know if that's passive. Maybe that's not very passive aggressive. That might just be aggressive.
No, but you see, here's how it's passive aggressive. If you know your boss listens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So it could be. Yeah, it could be passive aggressive. Yeah. So, especially because you can be anonymous.
Right.
You send a text message.
Right.
All right. So next week, we are going to talk about why we breathe. And it's going to be a little bit of a continuation of stress, coping with stress and kind of managing with stress. But we are going to specifically talk about an episode from Andrew Huberman, and he has a guest episode with Dr. Jack Feldman, Breathing for Mental and Physical Health and Performance. So it's just kind of a general, we're going to talk about breathing, why it's so important. It's something we neglect, or it's something we really take for granted, but something that actually matters a lot.
Right. So it's important to say why we breathe.
Yeah.
In addition to, it's what keeps us alive.
Yes.
It's all the other stuff.
Yes.
But it's really an interesting podcast by Huberman and this Feldman. So, you know, some of our listeners can go listen to it as well. Breathing and the way we breathe and what it does, the physiological stuff is really, at least I think it's pretty interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, you'll be amazed at what it can do to reduce anxiety.
Yeah.
So all things that will get into next week.
Yep.
Okay. We will see you all next week.
Have a good week, everyone.
Have a question for Dr. Burton? How about a topic you'd like us to cover? Send us an email at mentalhealthpod21@gmail.com. This podcast was produced and edited by Liz Lang. Music is by Audio Lounge.